You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Māori and Mana parties have signed an agreement to work together in this year's general election, and this morning we're going to be talking with speechwriter and columnist David Slack. Good morning, David.
Morning, Hannah.
How are you this morning?
Never better, and thanks for asking.
That's great. Hey, so I just wanted to ask firstly, what does the deal actually entail between the Māori and Mana parties?
Well, effectively, it's getting out of each other's way in the various election contests so that, principally, so that Hanei Harawira gets a clear run in Te Tai Tokorau against Kelvin Davis, because he went down last time by about 800 votes.
Gosh.
And if there hadn't been a Māori Party candidate, the thinking obviously goes, he'd have been able to scoop up some of that, which was something in the order of 3,000 votes. Of course, it doesn't work as simply as that. If there weren't a Māori Party candidate, that some of that vote might go to Kelvin Davis, some of it might go to Hone. You don't know for sure. And, of course, things have changed in the last 3 years. Kelvin Davis is quick to point out, you know, he's become pretty visible over some important issues, principally about violence in prisons, and he's done a pretty good job of it, and I think he's demonstrated to the voters there that he's going to be a pretty significant part of the Labour Party in the years ahead, and so voting for him is worthwhile. Of course, Hone Harawira can also make a decent argument that, you know, you put him in Parliament, he doesn't disappear. He's not invisible.
Yeah.
He's a strong orator, and he's a strong strong advocate. But here's the thing: having just said that this is really a deal to just get out of the way for each other so that they can get into Parliament, the question you've got to ask is: can he work with the Māori Party if they were to once again be in an arrangement with the National Party? Because that's really not the way he sees things. So. He would argue that he's more flexible than you think, and you should give him credit for it. And I think if you look at how the Māori Party has been under Marama Fox and Tuaroa Flavel in the last 3 years, they've been doing some of the kinds of things that he would that Hone Harawira would be interested in. Marama Fox put something on the spin-off this week that I thought was pretty interesting, just setting out some of the kinds of gains they've achieved in the last 3 years. And it's not a bad roll call. She says revitalisation of te reo Māori, electoral participation, land wars recognition, Māori business development, the breakfast in schools, fresh water, peppy pods, computers in schools, cultural competencies for teachers and Māori learners, history in schools. You know, a lot of stuff that happens in Parliament doesn't get high visibility, but I think their argument is what they've been doing in this arrangement with National is achieving workable, meaningful progress, and you've got to give them a little credit for that.
Because, I mean, there are these differences between the Māori Party and the Mana Party, and that's one of the reasons that caused Harawira to leave. Do you, like, foresee any future problems with this partnership? Like, is he having to make sacrifices for this deal to happen?
Well, he's mercurial. So you could never say for certain things won't blow up. But you could also see the possibility that they could find an accommodation together. Mm. This is also, of course, prompted a wider debate about, principally thanks to Andrew a little, about just who would most actively and meaningfully represent issues of meaning to Māori in Parliament. And that becomes a difficult kind of an idea to explore, because there are many dimensions to how you might argue you best represent the interests of Māori in Parliament. And there's one thing about that part of the debate that's arisen that's quite interesting, and that is there does seem, in the way a lot of this gets reported and debated, a kind of some kind of expectation that at some point Māori will stop wanting to do things differently, as though there's some endpoint we should be reaching where we're all the same. And it's, and of course, what that really is looking for assimilation. And that's kind of dopey. You know, we don't, in the world around us, we don't, for example, look at apples and oranges and say, boy, I wish the apples were more like the oranges, or the other way around. But we seem to have this difficulty of recognizing that we have two significant cultures here. And that's why we have both of those official languages. There is something special. And special, right, unique in the world about Maori culture, and we recognise that in some dimensions, but not broadly enough, I think. And the whole idea that you wouldn't have, in perpetuity, a clear separate voice and role in Parliament for Maori, I think is a little short-sighted. You know, I think you're far better off to say, we are richer if we recognise we have multiple cultures and multiple ways of looking at the world. And actually, in politics, you can get a better result from considering wider points of view. And so, when you look at the kind of assimilation language that has been appearing in some of the debate this week, you think, actually, we've got a little bit of a problem here.
Because if Labour may win the next election, do you think that they could form like a coalition with the Māori party? Or, I mean, because they've had a bit of tension between them.
Yeah, well,
recently.
This doesn't help, does it?
No.
it does create difficulties. But on the other hand, I've been hugely impressed with how Marama Fox has been in Parliament and how realistic is about dealing with people. I could see her in particular being very effective in finding some way to achieve common ground with Labour, should they be part of the governing arrangement. And when you look at that roll call I recited before, those policy gains she's talking about, I can see that she would absolutely be able to get some of that from the Labour Party. And I think she's mature enough and astute enough to know how to let any argument be yesterday's problem and work on something for the wider good of everybody. And I think Andrew Little's up to that too. So, you know, you get this kind of thing, it can look like a one great big punch up that people won't ever come back from, but actually, you know, politics moves on quite quickly.
Now, there has been some criticism that the Māori Party represents the interests of the Māori elite, not the kaupapa Māori. Do you think there's validity in this critique?
Well, yeah, it's frustrating because in part of the debate this week, somebody was pointing to the relative wealth of Ngāi Tahu, I think, against Ngāpuhi, and how per person there was a greater amount of wealth in the one which of course has had a settlement and made a lot of money, and the other which is still waiting on a settlement, but that the individual income of both iwi members was about the same. And the point it was making was elites aren't actually doing all that much for the individual interest, and you might make that argument about Māori Party in the sense that they've been propping up those elite interests in the iwi. I'm not so sure about that, because if you again look at that roll call of stuff Marama Fox has been working on, you would have to say that has a lot to do with the day-to-day life of Māori in New Zealand, especially something like breakfast in schools and the pepe pods things. That, you know, this is the that arrangement for avoiding cot death. Now, that's the kind of thing that deals with day-to-day life and improving day-to-day life for all Māori. So, I don't know. I think it's easy to be too sweeping about these things and say, oh, you're this or you're that, or you do it in this way or that. Politics actually happens day by day, and what you're wanting is people who are in there looking at issues that are going to make things better for people, you know, day by day, item by item. And I think people like Marama Fox are doing that quite well, and But so is Kelvin Davis. And so for the voters, you've got not easy choices to make.
Well, thank you so much, David, for speaking with us this morning. It'll be interesting to see what happens with this partnership.
For sure. Cheers.
Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.